All right, good morning. How are we doing with the recording, James? We're good to go? Nice. Bear with us. We are the second team. We are the B team when it comes to some of these things because as Paul prayed, I mean, our friends, the Lynns, are enjoying a well-deserved vacation and break, but they are very much involved with a lot of the things, the aspects that go on here in our worship service. And you know, when you go off on vacation, we notice, trust me, we do notice when you're on vacation and all that. It's just that we don't have to necessarily cover all the little ins and outs of what happens here on Sunday morning. But welcome. Thank you for being a part of our worship service today. As we wrap up the month of June and actually this whole spring quarter, we're coming to the end of our series here on building a God-centered church. Having trouble with that there? Just hit the start button there on the slideshow. Who knows PowerPoint? Show James. top button there. There's a little slide icon up there. Go for it, Elam. Don't make me come there. Don't make me come back there. Bingo. Look at that. So we're wrapping up our part of our Rise and Build series. Throughout this year, those of you that are joining us, we have been looking at this theme of rising up and build as we anticipate 2018 and our 40th anniversary as a church. We are reflecting not only on the past and what God has done here as a ministry, but looking to continue to build on the foundation that so many have already laid here as a ministry at CCCSB and Crosspoint. And so we looked at building a healthy church in the first part of our year, and here we're wrapping up the end of this idea of being God-centered. And as I've been going through the various names of God, my premise has always been that if we individually are focusing on God as the center of our own lives, it will certainly permeate and reflect and fill out to how we as a church body come together as a church that is centered on and focusing on who God is. And so to do that, I want us to look at some of the names of God, some of the experiences that God's people throughout Scripture had with God, and it reflected in the name that they called him. And so we're nearing the end of that. Starting next week, we're going to shift a little bit, looking at being Christ-like church. A couple years back, we were looking just at the idea of being Christ-like in general, but this series starting next week, we're going to be looking at the Sermon on the Mount beginning in chapter 5 of the book of Matthew, and this collection of the sermon that Jesus had given to his disciples and the multitude. And so we're going to dig into the Beatitudes starting next week. So if you want to start reading ahead, in addition to our readings in the book of Psalms, we're going to be jumping into Matthew chapter 5 starting next week and being this Christ-like church and what it means to live kingdom living in a way that reflects Christ-likeness and what it would be like as members of the kingdom of God. And so we'll dig into that starting next week, July 2nd. So today we're looking at this last name of God, one that many of us are familiar with, this idea that the Lord is my shepherd. The top of your outlines there, the start of Psalm 23, it says the Lord is my shepherd. And this idea of shepherd, We understand that because if you've grown up in church, you're so familiar with the concept that the Lord is my shepherd and we are sheep. And we'll dig into that a little bit more this morning. But living here in Southern California, with buildings and concrete all around, this concept of shepherd and sheep and grazing is so foreign to us. We don't think in terms of agriculture and herding and that. But we got a chance to spend, you know, 12 years of ministry and life living up in Bakersfield, and we know friends that are cattle people and herding in this, and they do have to drive their cattle from one section of grazing land to another in the winter. And you know, these are dear friends, and they're on their horses and they're having a grand old time. But the difference between cattle and sheep is that cattle need to be driven. They need to be pushed. They need to be kind of corralled in and all that. But sheep need to be led. And that's a unique distinction. And it's really neat to see that when we look at Scripture and we see this idea that God is our shepherd and that we are sheep, it underscores the image that God is not a God that is there to drive us and to push us and to force us into a lifestyle or into choices or in a way of obedience, but through his voice and through his calling, he gently leads us. He steps out in front of us and the sheep follow. And so we're going to look at that, because in our text, there's so many different passages in Scripture that speak of this image of sheep and shepherd. But one that stood out to me as I was praying and preparing was a passage in Ezekiel. It's not the Psalm 23, although we'll look at that a little bit later. And John 10, we're going to have certainly some verses in there that speak to the good shepherd. But in Ezekiel, what has happened is Ezekiel is one of the prophets that wrote in and around the time of Nebuchadnezzar, when the nation of Israel, Judah in particular, the nation of Israel were split into two kingdoms. There was Israel and there was Judah. And there came a point where, because of their disobedience, they were brought into captivity, into Babylon, to Nebuchadnezzar. We were talking about Daniel and the boys downstairs earlier. And just they took the brightest and the best of the young men of this nation and then infused them with the philosophy and the lifestyle of the Babylonian culture so as to impact their nation. And Daniel and his friends, they stood up against that. They resisted that. So this is the era in which Ezekiel is writing. And the first part of his book that bears his name speaks to the coming collapse and fall of Jerusalem. Prior to that, it's just foretelling that this is going to happen because of the disobedience of God, disobedience to God. Jerusalem's going to fall. You're already been brought into captivity, but now your city is going to fall as well. And so after the fall of Jerusalem, starting with verse chapter 33, then Ezekiel starts to prophesy about the restoration of Israel, which is a much more hopeful prophecy if you are on the receiving end of this. And so that's where it picks up. But like I said, we're looking at the Lord is my shepherd, and the name is Jehovah Rohi. And I don't have a definition because I think we understand what a shepherd is. There's nothing really fancy about that term. It really means shepherd, one who leads a flock of sheep. And to put Christ or put God in that role in our lives is what we're talking about here. And so in Psalm 95, the psalmist writes, "Let us worship and bow down." So we've worshiped, we've come, and we're going to kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker, and the acknowledgement that He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. That we are putting ourselves in a position of submission to follow God and acknowledging that and recognizing that. And so that's what we're going to look at today. We're going to start there, what it means for us to be sheep. We're going to look at what some of the failings of past shepherds were for Israel. What are some of the salvations that God is going to bring, and then what it looks like to live in the midst or in the presence of the shepherd. So let me open in prayer and we'll continue to dig into His word today. Our Father, God, we come before You and we ask that Your word would go out from this pulpit, from this platform, and would allow Your Spirit to really communicate to us Your heart, Your love, and the need for us to be obedient as we continue to follow You, Lord. I just ask that, again, be glorified, that Your glory would fill this place. In Jesus' name, amen. So there are various qualities about sheep. The thing about sheep is this, that they are often thought to be foolish or dumb or just not a whole lot of intelligence, that they're slow to learn. They're not the most attractive thing. I mean, especially after you shear them, they're this kind of, you know, body of nothing. The wool makes them at least look kind of interesting. They're stubborn sometimes. They can be incredibly strong and strong-willed. But they also stray, and they're unpredictable and restless. So it's no wonder that when you think about human beings in relation to this great and holy God, he calls us sheep. There's not a whole lot about us. But as we look at that, there's three things I wanted to highlight that I see in Scripture that are important to understand in this relationship with the shepherd. First of all, sheep are defenseless. Sheep don't have any natural ability to really defend themselves other than maybe that thick coat of wool. But if a wolf or a lion gets to them, that wool is just floss for afterwards, okay? I mean, it's just not anything that's going to keep a predator from being able to tear into a sheep. I mean, sheep are defenseless. They need someone to defend them. Matthew, Jesus was looking out at the city, and he says he saw the crowds. He had compassion on them because they were harassed and they're helpless, like a sheep without a shepherd. This is what sheep are. They can be very easily harassed. If there's no shepherd to defend them, to protect them, they can be harassed, and they're absolutely helpless. That's how we feel sometimes. Another thing is they're deferential, meaning that they're willing to submit. And this description in Isaiah 53 actually describes Jesus as he is. It's one of the prophetic passages speaking to and pointing to Christ. But it says, like a lamb that is led to slaughter, like a sheep that is before its shears is silent, you know, so is Jesus, the Lamb of God. But it's this idea that you take a sheep and like, okay, we're going to go and we're going down this little chute, and we don't know that there's a guy at the other end who's just going to butcher us, but okay, this is where we're supposed to go. We're going to go, and we follow. We are so quick to follow someone who looks like they're a leader, someone who looks like they know where they're going. That's sheep. That's us. I mean, we're so willing to be deferential to the most charismatic, to the most powerful, to the most, you know, popular, whatever it might be. And sheep do that. They just follow the leader. You know, growing up, we play games like follow the leader, and it's a fun game if your leader's going off doing some things that are fun, but you got to really trust the guy at the front that you're following. Or when we play Simon Says, you know, Simon Says to jump up and down, and okay, that's all right. Simon Says jump off a building, that's not so cool. But that's sheep. Sheep don't think, they just act, and they just respond, and they're so willing to just to kind of acquiesce to the leader, a good leader, or even a bad leader, as we shall see. The other thing about sheep is that they're directionless. Like I said, they have this ability or this tendency to wander. Without a shepherd, they just don't really know where to go. Scripture tells us this, all we like sheep, Isaiah 53:6, have gone astray, everyone to his own way. We've turned everyone to his own way. Every one of us, without a shepherd, without a guiding force, without God in our lives, you know, we're going to just do our own thing. It reminds me of when we were looking at Gideon the other week and the book of Judges, where it says, you know, everyone did what was right in their own eyes. The nation of Israel went through this cycle of just doing whatever they wanted to do, doing whatever feels right. If it feels good, do it. I mean, that was kind of the motto. That was kind of the mantra. That was kind of the way of life for Israel at times in that cycle of the judges. And without that leader, without that shepherd, we like sheep are directionless. And we may have experienced that in our own lives, maybe looking at future career or schooling or things like that. And we're just like, oh, someone give me some direction. Someone point me somewhere and at least look at something, consider something. And we feel that. Well, that's partly because that's our nature. As sheep, We don't always have the best defenses. We don't always have great direction, and we're willing to follow someone who will lead us. But see, that was the problem for the nation of Israel. In Ezekiel chapter 34, we see a lot of issues, and then Ezekiel's prophesying, said, yeah, God's going to restore, but here's the thing. There are shepherds that you have had that have absolutely failed you. And as you look through 34, it says that they selfishly fed themselves. That they took care of their own needs. As leaders, as shepherds, they were selfish in their feeding. They didn't care for their people as much as they cared for their own wealth and health and good. The sheep were anemic and they were sick. In verses 4, it says, the weak you have not strengthened. This is this indictment that Ezekiel is casting upon these former leaders, these former kings, these former shepherds of the nation of Israel. He said, you left some pretty weak sheep out there, pretty anemic and sick sheep. And in fact, you all, not only that, you ignored their injuries. Going on over the second half of verse 4, it says, the injured you've not bound up. You've not taken care of them when they were hurting. You've not watched over them to see them nursed back to health. You just ignored their injuries to your own benefit. The other thing, the L, is that there were lost ones. There were ones that just got out there, and they're directionless, and you just didn't care. You didn't go out to go seek after them. You didn't go out to look for them. You just let them continue to be lost. And as a result, the nation scattered. And they wandered throughout the area. No one was looking out for them. No one was looking for them at all. You know, in John 10, Jesus says this. You know, there's a difference between the person who owns the sheep and the person who's just simply hired to watch the sheep. He says, you know, he who's a hired hand and not the shepherd, doesn't own the sheep. They see a wolf and they leave. They flee. Then the wolf comes in, snatches them, scatters them, because he cares nothing for the sheep. He doesn't really care what happens to them. And what Ezekiel's saying, you know, you've had some shepherds, you've had some kings, you've had some leaders that have absolutely failed you because they just don't care about you. And for us as leaders, particularly when the term pastor, I mean, that's basically saying, hey, you're a shepherd. You are a leader. It is a confrontation, you know, in my own soul. Just like, am I leading well? Or am I failing as a leader? And I have to wrestle with that. Every pastor wrestles with that. How am I feeding the sheep? Am I helping them grow and be nurtured in the faith? Am I seeing those that are weak, and am I building them up? Or those that are hurting? Do I just turn a blind eye because I don't know what to do, or I don't want to have to deal with the messiness of injuries? Those that are kind of wandering and lost, am I doing what I can to seek after them? And as those that are scattered, does it even bother me that they're scattered? And there are times when sometimes I notice and sometimes I don't, and that's to my shame, absolutely. But I want to. You know, I want to be a better shepherd. But it's not just the pastoral ministry, because there are many within our own homes. As leaders, as we shepherd and lead our homes, are we succeeding or are we failing in this? Ezekiel is saying, you've had some leaders that have not done right by you. And it's understandable that the nation has been brought into this area of captivity and have been there. But let me tell you, it's because of your disobedience. It's not just simply you've had bad leaders, but you've also been bad sheep. That's a tough thing to say sometimes. But Ezekiel kind of goes there a little bit, because he goes into this section. It's like there's some sheep that were bullying other sheep. Now the leaders weren't doing anything, but in verses 17, it's like, as for you, my flock, says the Lord God, behold, I judge between you, between sheep and sheep, between rams and male goats. It's not good enough for you to feed on the good pasture that you must tread down your feet the rest of your pasture, or to drink of clear water that you must muddy the rest of the water with your feet, Or must my sheep eat what you've trodden with your feet and drink what you've muddied with your feet? You know, he's just saying, hey, some of you sheep are not looking out for your brethren. I mean, you're eating well, but then after you go past the pasture area, you're sitting there stomping it up so the next guy after you can't get it. You're drinking some good water. You're muddying the water, so they've got to drink through some dirty water. And not only that, he goes on to say, you know, some of you've got these horns and you're just sitting there ramming into each other and you're hurting each other. You know, shepherding fails happen, but sometimes it also is because we as sheep don't always care for one another as well. But then he goes on and says, no, let me tell you what a shepherd does, how a shepherd saves. He searches and he seeks out for his sheep. He's looking for them and he recognizes when they have gone lost and when they've scattered, and he searches out for them. He is going to assemble them together. He's going to gather them back together. He recognizes that right now we're in Babylon. We're over here. We're in captivity. But I know that there are other followers of God that are all over the place. And he says God's going to bring his people back together, become a nation again. He's going to assemble them together. He's going to restore vitality. He's going to restore health and strength to his sheep. And he's also going to evaluate the flock. Like I said, it's like some of them were not so kind to one another. Some of them were bullying each other. Some were beating each other up. And it's like, as a good shepherd, I'm going to separate out those that we're not so good to one another, because we need to be working together. We need to be building each other up. So he's going to evaluate who has been the kind of sheep that's been helpful and useful and encouraging to one another. And the last thing, he's going to strengthen the weak. This is what a good shepherd does. A good shepherd saves. He searches and seeks. He assembles them together, brings them together. He restores that vitality, evaluates the good sheep that are with the flock and working to build the flock and help the flock and encourage the flock. And he's going to also strengthen the weak. John 10:10, he says, this is what the good shepherd does. The thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. But I, as the good shepherd, I have come that they could have life and have it abundantly, that they will be saved, that they will be part of the family of God. And so Ezekiel's saying, the Lord is going to restore you, nation of Israel. Yes, you've had some shepherds that have failed you, but the Lord God will save, and Israel will be restored. Have hope in that. So here's what we have. We can live with the shepherd. We can have security, the knowledge and knowing that God is going to watch over us and care for us. In John 10, he says, those who enter by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. And he says, as the shepherd, I am the door. Anyone who enters to me, he'll be saved. He'll be safe and he'll go in and they'll find pasture. This is the image. Sometimes they would take their sheep and they would have to go farther away from home to find some grazing land. But they would see these pens that would be out there. And you see them sometimes there in Israel still. And they'd be stone pens of some sort with only one entrance, one way in and out. And that's the image that Jesus' hearers were picturing. The shepherd would lead them into this pen, and then he would put himself across the one and only opening. He would be that door that would lead them to safety, security, and he would also offer the protection. And that is the reminder that we have in Ezekiel, that our Lord God is going to assemble his people again and offer protection and safety and salvation to them. He also says that there's going to be freedom in verse 27. He says that the trees in the field shall yield their fruit, and they shall be secure in their land, and they shall know that I am God, and I'm going to break the bars of the yoke and deliver them from the hand of those who've enslaved them. There is freedom in Christ. Christ has set us free, and we can stand firm, and we don't have to submit again to this yoke of slavery. For us as followers of Jesus Christ here in the New Testament era after Christ has come, freedom is freedom not just from an old way of life, to a new life, the abundant life that God promises, but freedom from the yoke of slavery to sin. We don't have to allow sin to continue to enslave us and to fall into those old habits. God has given us freedom to live in Christ. And that's what we're going to be looking on this next quarter, is what it means to live like Christ, to be Christ-like in our lives, to experience and to live in that freedom. Not free to just continue to do what we want, but free to pursue the life that God has created in us. And the last one is that there is acceptance for us. He says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. He says, my voice, they know my voice. I've accepted, and they know me. And there's this sense of acceptance when we come into a relationship with the good shepherd. And that's what Ezekiel is saying. There is going to come a place where you are going to come together. In verse 29 and 30, it says, I will provide them a renowned plantations. There will be acceptance there. They shall no more be consumed with hunger in the land and suffer the reproach or the ridicule of other nations. They will be accepted because they are my people. Verse 30 says, they shall know I am the Lord their God with them, and that they, the house of Israel, are my people, declares the Lord God. And you are my sheep, human sheep of my pasture. I am your God, declares the Lord God. He has accepted us as his people, as his children, as the sheep of his pasture. This is what it means to live with the shepherd, not just some great king or leader or pastor or ruler, but to live with the one true shepherd. There's a story that in the 1800s, it was before there was modern entertainment and all that, but some great actor came to a small Midwestern town, and they had a town hall meeting, and everyone was gathered because this was just like the celebrity of the day. And they were asking, you know, one guy had shot his hand up and says, hey, can you recite something? Would you do maybe the 23rd Psalm for me, please? And so this actor, this known, well-known actor, said, okay, I'll do it on one condition, that after I do it, that you recite it as well. The guy who asked the question is like, okay, that, you know, older gentleman, that's fine, no problem. So the actor comes up and he's like, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And he used all the tricks of acting and presented this oration just with great skill and poise and all of that. And when he was done, people applauded and they were excited and like, whew, that was a magnificent thing. And then the older gentleman, he came up, the one who requested him to recite the 23rd Psalm. And just kind of an older guy, and he just got up there and he recited it. And when he concluded with the last line there, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. No one stood their feet and applauded. In fact, there wasn't a dry eye in the house. People were weeping. And when the silence was finally broken, the actor guy, he stepped forward and he said something to the effect, Now you know why I wanted him to follow me. Because I know the psalm, but he knows the shepherd. See, there's a difference between knowing God, knowing scripture and all that, and knowing the shepherd and having a relationship with him. Because we are directionless, because we're defenseless, because we're deferential, we will follow almost anybody that has charisma, has popularity, has style and panache. But it should never be about the man behind the pulpit. It should always be about the God within that leader. Do you know the Bible? Do you know scripture? Do you know the shepherds that God has out here? Because there are so many with YouTube and TED Talks and all that. We can follow a lot of different shepherds, pastors, speakers, authors. But it's important that we know the shepherd, the God of the universe. So here's where we end up today. It's ultimately this: responding to the voice of the shepherd and to be his. In verse 34, 31, you are my sheep, human sheep. I am your God. Do you hear? Have you responded to the voice of the one who calls you to be his. And if you have responded, are you willing to follow the shepherd as he leads? John 10:4, he says, when he brought him out on his own, he goes before them and the sheep will follow him because they recognize his voice. It's not about being driven like cattle. It's about being led like sheep. And we are sheep. Whose voice are we following? Whose voice do we hear clearly? Let me tell you, Jesus, our God and Savior, he is calling us to follow him, to be a God-centered people, to be a God-centered church. But we have to know him and recognize his voice. So that's my encouragement to us as we move forward, that we would be more aware of his presence and to be more inclined to recognize and to follow his voice. We're going to close in prayer, and we have one more song here to sing together. So would you join me as we pray? Father, I just ask that you would help us to more clearly hear your voice as you call us.